Hallelujah. Amen. Children's Church. Undone by the mercy of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, good morning. You guys ready? Are you ready? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm ready. Amen. Look at all the kiddos. More and more kids in it. It's going to be awesome. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That song, that's one of my favorite songs now. It really touches my heart. And man, I just love the Lord. Thank you, George. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come again and into your house and worship you and lift up your name. Father, we love you. We ask you to bless this word today that goes forth and let it not return void. Well, we know that you will accomplish the things that you want in this world. And we give you this service. It's all about you. We love you. Teach us. Help us. Guide us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew again. We'll definitely be in Matthew. We've got several more weeks studying the Beatitudes. So if you're with us for the first time or visiting, we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. And like Derry said, we're going to have communion right after the service. All right, so let's read Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And Jesus is talking here. Jesus says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them." This is what he said. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, in our study so far, we've covered the first four Beatitudes. And we've got four more to continue on. We've covered the poor in the spirit, the mourning, the meek, and the hungry and thirsty. And this morning, we're going to start our look and our study at verse 7. And verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Now, interesting, I haven't mentioned this yet, but the term beatitude, it comes from an old Latin. We know that the New Testament was written in Greek, and it was translated in different languages throughout the years. So beatitudes, the term beatitude comes from an old Latin word that means happiness. So here we are again at this word happy. And I really believe that Jesus wanted us to be happy. He wanted us to enjoy life. He wanted us to experience a good life, to be content, and to be happy with what we have. I really do believe that. In the Beatitudes, Jesus is teaching us a new set of godly standards that focus on us walking in the spirit of love, humility, and service. Now, we all know that the guys that they were talking to, that Jesus was talking to at that time, these were people who had already received the mercy of salvation. All right? These are people who had already decided that they put their faith in him, and they were following him. And Jesus also knows that if we, the followers today, us Christians today, if we would really learn and follow the Beatitudes, it would change our attitudes. Okay? And I love what you said in Sunday school class, ma'am. I can't remember your name. What was your name again? Melanie. And she was talking about having a positive attitude about certain things. And the thing that came to me was that if we, how do you have a positive attitude? Millions of books have wrote about positive mental attitude. But really, Jesus sums it up in the Beatitudes. Because really, if you study and apply the Beatitudes, it changes our attitudes. And that term definitely is a term about happiness. Living the Beatitudes changes our heart toward people. It gives us the heart of the Father. Okay, Psalms 13:5 says this, "I trust in your mercy, O God. My heart rejoices in your salvation." Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin anew each morning." That's another good worship song. Great is thy faithfulness, right? Now, let's take a look at today's verse. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Everybody ready? Say, "I'm ready."
Ready.
All right, so no need to recap because we know that the word blessed means what? Happy. Right. Happy. Having a vibrant heart. Enthusiastic. Now, some people say, "Well, you've said that 1,000 times now already." Okay, I'm going to say it 1,000,000 times before it's over. Okay? Teachers know that repetition is the mother of all learning, right? Repetition. Hear it. You know, even the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It did not say faith comes by "I heard it one time." It's a faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So you'll hear me repeat myself a lot. Okay, so blessed means happy. And so that word mercy, if we look at the Greek word, you know that Greek word, if we look at the Greek meaning of the word mercy, it means to have compassion. Compassion. It means to help the afflicted. And it uses that word, afflicted, to help the afflicted and to bring help to the wretched. Afflicted, wretched, help, have compassion on these folks. Now, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence here, but afflicted, what does that mean? Afflicted means a problem or an illness that causes pain or suffering. So there are folks out there who have problems in life that's causing them pain and suffering. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's an injury. Maybe it's a problem in their financial area. There's a problem in their marriage. But somehow this problem is causing them pain and suffering. Then you have the word wretched. Wretched. We don't use those kind of words much anymore, do we? Wretched. What's a wretched person? This is what Jesus is calling us to do. A wretched. Wretched means a person in a very unfortunate or unhappy state. Wow. Here it is again, right? Wretched is a person who's a very... They've got themselves in a very unfortunate or unhappy state. Right? The state of mind. The way they're feeling. The way they're thinking. So this is what God's calling us to do. This is mercy. He's calling us to be compassionate and have mercy on folks that have found themselves in this kind of situation. Now, studying this, I found that this mercy that we're talking about, this biblical truth of mercy, is a twofold blessing. Okay? It's a daily, it works out to where it's a daily mercy for us as believers, And it should be a daily mercy for others. So it's for us and it's for others. See, God blesses us daily, doesn't He? I mean, come on. I mean, every day when the sun comes up, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day, especially if we live in America, huh? Amen? We wake up blessed every day. I mean, if we're, you know, if our heart's beating and we can walk, just simple things, we're blessed. So God blesses us every day. His mercies are renewed each day. We're given a daily reprieve. See, God expects us, see, twofold. God expects us then to what? Go and what? Come on. Bless others. He wants us to bless others. God blesses each day. He wants us to bless others, to help others. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. I'm going to read it, okay? So y'all hang with me. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10 reminds us of our blessings. Okay, it says this: because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in His mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Even when we were being knuckle brains. That's Dallas' version, sorry. It is by grace we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, we'll read it again, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Can you say amen? Woo. Not by our works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork. Everybody say that with me. I am God's handiwork. One more time. I am God's handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Everybody hear that? Which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's the scripture right there. Unquote. Psalms 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Mercy, in this beatitude, mercy is part of this, the spiritual law of reaping and sowing. It's a spiritual law. And part of the reaping and sowing. If we show compassion and help others, then others will show us compassion and help us. All of us need help from time to time, don't we? You can't be a human being and not at some point in your life need help from someone else. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You see that, guys? The mercy of the Lord compels us to repent of our sin of pride and ego. And it commands us to walk in love. Love is an action word, isn't it? It's a verb in the English language. It's an action word. See, God, guys, God gave us His mercy. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we as Christians, as a church body, we're supposed to give mercy to others. We're supposed to show mercy, to give mercy. How do we give mercy? Mercy is an act of love. God loved us and He gave. God is calling us to love people and give. So he's calling us to help and show compassion and give toward the afflicted, the broken, the wretched. I believe with all of my heart within me, God is calling Pauline Baptist Church and all Christ followers to prepare our hearts and get ready to minister to the needs of our community. It's coming. When I first became a Christian, God burned in my soul Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It became my life's purpose. The scripture became my life's purpose. Some of you are very familiar with that verse. You see, I didn't have a clue. No clue in 1984 that I would be in the kind of ministry that I'm in today. But God did, and He worked it out in my life through various mistakes on my part and just dumb decisions. Everybody made a dumb decision? I mean, really just, oh, jeez, help me. How did I ever do that? But see, Proverbs 16 and 9 says this: a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Oh, isn't that true? Here's Luke 4:18 for you, my life's purpose scripture. Some of you are very familiar with the scripture. Here it is. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And praise the Lord, I actually literally get to do that. I get to do that almost every day. Praise the Lord. Get ready, church. It's coming. Can I tell you, we got time, don't we? I'm going to tell you a little story. Is that okay? When I was a little, some of you might laugh, but that's all right. You'll be all right. Just keep coming back. When I was a little kid I was born in 1963. Some of you, that's not that old, but some of you are like, wow, that's back when God made dirt. But several years later, there was this TV show that came on called Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Anybody remember Rudolph? I'm talking about the real Rudolph now. All right, I'm going to tell you now. You ready? I don't know how old I was. Maybe four or five, maybe six. I don't know. But when I watched Rudolph, I was amazed. But when they got to Misfit Island, I cried. I remember crying as a little kid on Misfit Island. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because nobody wanted those little toys. Those little toys were rejected and abandoned. And I didn't understand it at that time, but God was calling me as a young kid into this ministry. He was tenderizing my heart. Those were misfits. Nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted to play with a Charlie in the box. I know now it's because I was one of those misfits. God was tenderizing my heart. God's tenderizing Pauline Baptist Church. You get ready. It's coming. A merciful heart says, come on in. Come on into this church house. You're welcome here. This church is the hospital for the hurting. If you're listening on the internet or on our website right now, I'm telling you, come on in. You're welcome. If you're hurting, if you're broken, if you were abused by the church, if you're sick or afflicted or struggling, if you're just trying to fit in somewhere, come on in. You're welcome here. That's why I wear this shirt and I don't wear a tie. If they told me to wear a tie, I'd wear one. But I'd buck on it pretty bad. No offense to ties. I don't mean anything. I got a tie and a suit. But I'm trying to set the tone here that regular folks, can come on into our house. They can come on into our church family. They don't have to worry about buying expensive clothes. Nothing wrong with expensive clothes. I got some. Well, my wife bought them for me, but she brought me this white shirt. I'm digging it, right? But come on in. We accept you the way you are. If you're black, if you're white, if you're Mexican, if you're Korean, if you're redneck, if you're a river rat, if you're country, you're a city slicker, you're rich, you're poor, you're educated, uneducated, you're pretty, handsome, or just hound dog ugly, you're welcome in here. Amen? Come on in. You're welcome. God loves you. And we'll accept you into our church family. Guys, acceptance is one of the six basic human needs. We all need to feel like we belong. We belong to a family. We belong to people who care about us and love us. I've worked with gangbangers. I've worked with gangster kids from Atlanta and all around the world. I'm telling you, it's sad when you hear and you listen to the story of a young man that allow the gang members to beat him half to death physically with sticks and wood and the boots of their shoes. An initiation to be a part of their gang, they desperately are looking for that family, that acceptance to be a part of. They would be willing to go through that to be able to get involved in that gang. Shame on the church. Not us, but shame on the church in America, right? For making it and getting to the point where people feel like they're not welcome. I'm just telling it like it is. People need to feel welcome in the house of the Lord. We get them in here, and God will clean them up, won't He? We get them in here, and God will clean them up. We need to show mercy and help people feel accepted and valued by God. In God's eyes, you are valuable. You are worth something. You were bought with a price. Jesus died on the cross. But each one of you, young, old, who you are valuable in the eyes of God. You are worth. You have worth and significance. Church, I ask you, are we ready for the end times revival? The world is collapsing around people, and they're looking for an answer to their life problems. It's happening, isn't it? Let's be ready and have our hearts full of love and mercy and tenderness and accept Him into our church family. One of the primary definitions of mercy is showing sympathy to people in great need, followed by good deeds. Thank you guys for doing the Compassion House on Saturday. Going to Tennessee and Haiti and all around. That's just the beginning, isn't it, guys? God is birthing something in here. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Happy are the ones who show compassion to people that are hurting. Happy, cheerful-heartedness, enthusiastic, happy, and content, and joyful are those who show compassion to people who are hurting and afflicted and rejected and abused and imprisoned and sick and in suffering. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing here at our church family. Father, if there's one here today that does not know you, I ask, Lord, that they'll come running to the altar to get saved and get born again and become a child of God. If there's one here that is struggling, they're broken, sick or afflicted, wounded, Lord, I pray that they'll come to the altar right now. Some of our men will come and pray for them. I know we got communion going, Lord, but I know you've got all this worked out and figured out, Lord. We love you. Jesus' name, amen.